Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors.
Good evening. You are on the air with Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. That just does not mean get up out the bed. That means wake up. The brain cells move the blood through your body. We have some things to do. You know, everything starts with you. You must forge yourself through your own efforts. I urge each and every one of you to create something, start something, and make a success of something. That is the essence of human existence, the challenge of youth. Herein lies a wonderful way of life, always aiming for the future. I speak this to my youth each and every day. And also I remind them that success is not a matter of accumulating more of this or that. It is not measured in quantity. It means changing the quality of your life. Wealth, power, fame, and knowledge alone cannot make you happy, no matter how much of these things you acquire. Nor can you take them with you when you die. But by improving the quality of your life, you will at last approach true happiness. And that's what it takes. It takes happiness here. And with all the youth to deal with Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan, we believe in happy, bright, and light. And if you keep it that way, everything will happen. We're going to have an exciting show today. We'll have Maceo, the magician, coming on. This magician is phenomenal, and especially with children. I attended an event, and he packed the room. I was so excited and mesmerized that, you know, I wanted to sit down in front of that man and tell those children to move out the way so that I could sit there and be, you know, life is magical. We all go through life dealing with magic. And it's an illusion, and it's a delusion, and it's sometimes a confusion. But we go through and do what we have to do to get the job done. And then after Mr. Maceo comes on, we will have Stephanie Haynes that will be joining us. Today, she's going to finish up part two of relationships that she started last week. We did part one. So if you missed out on part one, tune in for part two. And, you know, I'd like to send my condolences out to the persons that are out in Catalina dealing with the big waves, filling out what's going on. We're having some technical problems within the city. You know, water moves everything. It makes everything go. It's energy. So we're getting affected by it. So if we experience some technical difficulties here on Waking Up with Linda McShane. Just bear with me. We're going to get through this. You know, we let nothing stop us, no matter what. So we're going to have an exciting show today, and I want to just share with you that I had the opportunity to go to the Magic Castle yesterday. I've never been there. I saw magic at its best. As a guest of Maceo the musician, because you know it is a private club, and you must be invited there. The people were pleasant. It was happiness going through the room. Everything that we tried on, we went from room to room, from show to show, you know, front row, VIP treatment, just to see everything that was happening, everything. So right now, I'm going to play a favorite song for you to see if we can get Mr. Maceo on the line, see what we can do here. Let's get this song playing. When he comes on, we will tune in. If we go through some technical problems, don't hang up. Just stay on the line. Waking Up with Linda McShane. I have a caller online. Who's calling, please?
Maceo the Magician.
Hello, Maceo. The listeners are waiting for you to come in. I let them know about your greatness and your mesmerizing techniques that you use. talk to them briefly about my wonderful VIP treatment at the Magic Castle last night as your special guest, and we are ready to get started. You know, as I was sharing with them, because of the high tides that are happening in the Catalina area and moving south, we might be having a little difficulty, technical problems here, but we're going to work through it. So I am so glad that you took our time of your busy schedule to come on and share with the listeners all about magic. You know, I love magic. Can you get going? What is magic? Where did it come from? And just tell us all about it. We're all ears here.
Well, one of the oldest magic effects in the world is 5,000 years old. And how do we know this is the oldest magic effect? Because at the base of the pyramids in Egypt, in the Pharaoh's tomb, in hieroglyphics, is a picture of the cups and balls. And that was one of the first magic effects that ever came about. And by it being in the pyramids, in the Pharaoh's tombs, that pretty much makes it about 5,000 years old.
Whoa, 5,000 years old. So what is it when...
Well, magic has been around forever.
Forever. And as I mentioned to you last night, I stated that, you know, life is about magic. But what I enjoyed about just being in that environment was the ambiance, the welcoming, the staff with their pleasantry, the decor there, and all of the persons that were there, including the staff, the guests, everybody felt so good and they looked good. It was like a wonderful, wonderful experience to just go from room to room and see show after show with so much going on. The different rooms that were there in the palace, and that's the larger room,
yes.
Viewing Caitlin and Ginger. That was just like so exciting to be a part of that and to be so close to it and just watching the way things were done and the faces on the individuals and just the relaxed atmosphere. Anything that you want to do there, that there's dining, which is of the top. The chef there is like top-notch. And all of the magicians that are there, they come in from all over the world. I think there was a gentleman there from Portugal last night. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes,
was he
Portugal.
From Portugal?
And we also had two close-up artists from Paris, France,
that came in
and to perform for a week.
Okay.
And each act performs for a week. We have seven shows going on simultaneous, so that way we keep our guests all engaged in the world of magic. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but this is the Academy of Magical Arts, which goes all over the world, and we are known all over the world. We just turned 50 years old. This mansion has been there 50 years doing magic, which was founded by the founders, the Larson brothers, and they are so entrenched in magic. As a matter of fact, the brothers' mother was one of the first female magicians that perform throughout the United States. So just a lot of history there. Also, it is a private club. It is the only one that exists today. And like I said, guests, people come from all over the world. And you were there at a special night. Wednesday night is members night, which means practically everyone you saw was a magician. It was the magician's night out.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. So that's where the happiness and the smiles and the, I mean, it was just like a, it was so relaxing in there. You just floated around from room to room, and everyone that you passed by, it was a great positive feeling throughout the whole facility. It was just like, what more could a person ask for than to have a wonderful...
It is there are some people that live in L.A., Hollywood, and around California, and across the United States, are just wishing that they knew a magician. Because the only way that you can come in is to be invited or have a guest pass from a magician, which gives it that mystique. And, yes, you were my guest, and I wanted you and your guests to have a wonderful, magical time. And from hearing you talking now, I think you did.
Oh, I had a great time. I had a great time from the time the valet opened the door and going in. The entrance, just, you know, just the drive in, just the, it was like you were really driving up the hill into another world, and which it was another world. It was a world of magic.
Yes,
and after, you know, we were greeted at the front, and she said, oh, just talk to the door. Is there an aisle there? Just tell the door, and you have to say, open sesame. We had a kick, and the door just opened up. It was awesome. It was awesome, and I love the decor, you know, the velvets and the deepness and the richness. And also, we really don't talk about, you know, the bars there. I think there's two bars there. There's one on the main floor and then one upstairs near the dining area.
Actually, we have seven bars in there. So that way you can get drunk and, of course, the magic looks better.
Well, you know, we won't talk about the intoxication on the show, but I did ask about the various type of drinks, and they make a lot of organic drinks there. That's all organically blended, no sugars, with agave and had a guest. She wanted to do margaritas, and after we found out what was in that margarita, she said that was the best tasting margarita she ever had. Because she had actually tasted the tequila, because it was not like drowned with the triple sec or the margarita mix, and it was classed as the organic margarita. But I think it was a bit strong for her because she didn't order but one, and that's not like her. So it was like a evening, shall we say, an evening of magic, an evening of relaxation. And as you stated, history, magic has been around for 5,000 years. I was reading the pamphlet, and I know, speaking of the academy, there's like classes that they have, you know, for beginners or active amateurs. If you're not out doing shows, you know, as keeping up your skills, you can come in. So I'm an amateur. I would love to come in and find out about how to move those doves. I love the white doves. They really, really mean a lot to me there. And it was talking with some of other persons, and I did not realize that I was surrounded by nothing but magicians. The gentleman that was there, I think his name was Ronald, and he was telling me about his doves and how not to feed them too much and the things, the do's and the don'ts, you know, that you have to do and how they multiply. It was like an evening of education, relaxation, excitement, and getting that VIP treatment. You know, I like that VIP treatment because we VIPs and we have to have that. And you definitely made sure that my guest and I had a great time.
Well, it is our pleasure to keep you engrossed in magic. One of the main things there is it is magic. I don't know if you noticed when you were leaving in the dining room, that also becomes a room of magic where the magicians can take their guests back into the dining room and perform for them. We also have a seance room there that was created by Bess, and Bess is Houdini's wife. I don't know if you knew this, but Houdini was into the psychology of magic.
I love Houdini.
Of magic. And, of course, one of his things was to prove that a lot of these psychics were imposters. And hence the room came about. But for many years after Houdini passed, Beth would come in there every Halloween, and she would have a seance trying to reach Houdini. Because when Houdini passed and went to the magic sky, he told his wife that he would come back in some form. So
okay.
That is the seance room. And, of course,
oh.
The seance room is open up to the public. You have to make a 6 to 8 week reservation, and you have your meal, and you have a real live seance in that room.
Oh, my goodness. So you're saying that, I mean, you have the meal in the restaurant or you have the meal in the actual seance room?
You have the meal in the actual seance room.
Ooh.
With a live seance.
Ooh.
So you can quite imagine how many weeks and months in advance this room is booked.
Oh, my goodness. And does it have to have a certain, is there a certain requirement for the amount of people, 1 to 10?
It seats 12.
It seats 12. Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting.
Yes.
I think I would like to look into that, just to get the knowledge, just because I have a little bit of knowledge about Houdini and, you know, how he operated in the mindset and dealing with the psychology of it. I would like to experience that. I would like
Not
to experience that. But I would like to take some of my interns, stronger youth, that show an interest in that and just, like, give them maybe like a celebration treat. But in order to do that, you need to have someone with you that actually understands what's going on, you know, to really get the true benefit of it and to not be in there and be so darn frightened that they can't enjoy themselves. So we won't take no scared people, okay?
Oh, we have nothing but fun there at the Magic Capital. It's all about doing magic.
I love it.
Magic. Yes.
I love it. And what was so, you know what, I mean, there were many, many highlights. And I am so glad when, you know, I asked you to come on to the show and you made the suggestion that, you know, to come and visit because I've never been there. And, you know,
yes.
You've heard about it. You know it's there. I didn't know any magicians. I didn't really realize that it was private. When we drove up, I saw the club side. I saw the hotel side. I had no idea that all of that goes on there. But it was one of the most refreshing, relaxing, memorable evenings that I've had in a long time. As I mentioned to you, you know, we as people, we need to get exposure to everything. Because the world is compiled with everything and everybody, so that no matter where you go, you're comfortable or you can relax or it's not anything that's just going to sway you so, you know, out of your realm that you won't be able to enjoy it. And it's just like brought back a lot of memories. I like doggies. I go to dog competitions. I have Shelties, you know, the little baby lassies.
Right.
And it's so ironic, and I tell all the youth, I show them pictures, I show them the younger children of the dog competitions and the best of breed, and the dogs that I have, they are competition dogs, they are champs. They're best of breed,
yeah.
They're best in show, and you see these things on television, and you watch it, but you have no idea of what goes on in that arena. So when I first got interested in, I selected out my first baby was Rodon Coco Chanel, and she was born in a litter in Portland, Oregon. And my ex-boss, they were Sheltie owners, and they said, go pick out a baby. And I was visiting, and I picked out Coco. Well, Coco is a world champ that has many, many lines behind her, you know, because everybody breeds in. But it's a very expensive sport, and when you walk out there, you don't see too many African Americans around. That's just something that they're not into. So my first visit at Riverside, because all of the competitions are usually up north, I came to Riverside to a competition, and I walked into the park, And people were looking and grabbing the handbag. Okay. And I said, chill out, I'm Largo. But when you see me at the competitions, I am in the cage with the dogs. We're all sleeping in there together. And it
awesome.
Is the most relaxing atmosphere that one could ever experience. So as I was moving through the Magic Castle and conversing with the guests and the staff and with you and my guests, I a feeling of, how can I put it, a familiarity came back, because you have to always keep yourself abreast of what's going on so that you can enjoy whatever you do. So in there kind of like gave me flashbacks, but up north and all the competitions and the attitudes of the people that are there and how everybody is flowing in like one direction. It's like we call it Itadoshin. It's many minds, many bodies, but one mind. So everyone there last night was totally about enjoyment, happiness, and magic. And wouldn't you say that life is magical? Remember we were talking about that? And I said life is magical. Can you kind of elaborate when I feel this, why do I make those statements? Why am I the type of person that feels like life is magical, or even others that are out there? What is it about magic that puts us in that frame? Can you help us out with that, Maceo?
Well, first of all, as kids, we all grow up with that magic mind. What I mean by that magic mind is kids are forever in wonderment when they first come into the world, and because everything is so new. And they're constantly learning. They're constantly looking at the world as a child, and that's very magical to them. And this is what magic does to you. It brings out that child in you. It brings out that wonderment in you. It brings out that ooh and that ah in you, which is a wonderful feeling to escape and to be in the world of wonderment. And this is why magic is so awesome. It's a mindset that when you're in it, you're just in wonderment. And lots of kids love magic. I don't know any kid that doesn't love magic. I have done magic shows where I was hired to come and do magic for the kids. And the adults would sit there and they would say, hey, be quiet, I'm watching this.
Well, what was my statement to you when we were at the event and I saw your show and you packed the children from the front of the stage to the back of the mall, and they were mesmerized, and I said I wanted to go sit down in the front row and say, move over, because I was just as mesmerized as they were. But to see the looks and the attention and in the area, as we mentioned, there were, you know, in the play area there were children that just were, you know, they were like noisy for hours. They were noisy, but when you started your show, you could not hear a pin drop in there.
No, you
so not. I could definitely relate to that, and because I personally refuse to grow up, I refuse to grow up, okay? I'm going to always remain that child. I'm just a big child with a little bit of more wisdom, but I refuse to grow up because that is the ooh and the ah and the wonderment that we get an opportunity to participate in that keeps us moving forward. It keeps that happy, bright, and light there. And that's the way I view magic, as happy, bright, and light, because it's never ending. It never stops. I just saw so much last night. I was thinking about the cards, and I was thinking, it was just so much going on from room to room to room. And what I really like about the magicians is that they pull out of the audience for participation, and that's a good thing, because you know you never know what they expect there. You never know what they expect. I'm going.
That's
back.
Why it's called the Magic Castle.
Oh God, I have to go back. I will take others.
Now,
I must go back.
let me tell you something about magicians.
Okay.
Magicians are still kids with toys. And when
okay.
they grow up, their toys just become more sophisticated.
Okay. Okay.
So we're still in that childlike mentality. And that's what magic does. It puts you in that childlike mindset. And it keeps you in that wonderment. And it makes a mind into openness. When you say open at the top, that's what magic
mm-hmm.
does. You become receptive. Now, you may see this and you may not grow up as a magician, but the magic opens up your surroundings. You know, they said that when, I'm not trying to get religious here, but they said when Moses went to the mountaintop, he just didn't go to get out of the smog. He went to see the vastness of God, and that's what magic does. It wants you to see the vastness of this world. It just opens you at the top. Such a wonderful feeling.
Well, I'm gonna agree with you on that. I'm totally sold on magic. And like I always mention, life is magical. You know, I feel that I live magical because sometimes you never know what to expect. Okay, you never know which side it's coming from, which is a good thing, because
yes.
that way you're not put in a box, or you know, you just have to switch up every now and then. You have to make life exciting. Yes, we have our routine ways of things that have to be done, but I hate routines and I hate schedules because that takes the fun out. Even though you have to be organized and you must, you know, have a certain type of procedure and a process, you need that in everything you do, but leave some room for some magic on
well,
a daily
well, it's
basis.
Funny. It's funny, Linda, that you mentioned the word box, because
okay.
one of the first magicians from slavery, his name was Henry Box Brown. Now,
okay.
the reason they called him Henry Box Brown was because he freed himself in a box. He was a carpenter and a magician, and at that time, going north was a way of freeing the slaves. So what
okay.
he did was he had someone lock him in a box, and he
okay.
shipped the box to Philadelphia to a theater.
Okay.
And when the
I
box got to the theater, the box was open, and there was Henry Box Brown, and that's when he performed his first magic show in the North in a theater in Philadelphia. So you're right about the box.
And as you mentioned, and I think I read something, some information that you had given me, but when I was participating in the African history class, I had a wonderful professor, and basically everybody in Los Angeles knows him, he's Professor Ely. And Professor
okay.
Ely talked to us about Henry Box Brown. And I'm going to go back through my paperwork, and I remember studying about him.
Yes.
Didn't hold on to it too long, but I remember him mentioning that. So yeah, I hate boxes. I hate to be placed in boxes, and at times it's kind of intriguing to me when I'm aware when individuals are trying to put us in a box, and I try to share that with all youth so that they can understand. And now that I have a little bit more information about Mr. Henry Box Brown, I will be talking about him all the time. As a matter
and
of fact, I think
himself.
I'll have him researching.
Yes.
I'm
also,
sorry?
If you remember, the main show that you saw, were not the first two effects boxes?
They were boxes.
Hello.
They were boxes. And how they were put together, and I you know, I am just inquisitive on how that works. I'm going to have to work with you and mentor you. You will be my mentor just to let me see about those doves in that box. That box intrigues me. Because if Henry Brown can get away with it, then others can too, okay?
Yes. Isn't that awesome? And Brown, actually Brown got that idea from a magician that he read about from Egypt, because a lot of magic started in Egypt. And the pharaohs' entertainment were magicians. They not only had dancers, but they had magicians performing for them too. So that just gives you an idea of the vastness, which is what I was talking about earlier, of magic. And it's all about presentation. It's all about entertainment. Some kind of way we have gotten away from magic being wonderment and putting it as a dark art, when in actuality it is not.
No, it isn't. Because there's nothing dark about it, and your existence, your being, while you're in the environment, it's nothing dark there. Everything is happy, bright and light, and you're like mesmerized. You know, it helps you take your mind off of whatever it is you might be going through. You know, and as you say, it opens up at the top. And everything starts there. We talk about consciousness and unconsciousness, and I tell everyone, you know, we function, we think from our consciousness, but it's really the unconscious, the subconsciousness that moves us, because that's where everything lies. And if there's something that can get in there and shake that up and wake it up and open up the top, I mean, you can have a wonderful experience. And that's really what life is. It's just an ongoing experience. Sometimes, most of the time, I'm not going to say most of the time, it goes in and out. It goes, you know, sometimes the experience is good and sometimes the experience is bad, but it all needs to blend together to make a life what it is. Because once you experience something, you recognize it again when it comes around. And, you know, when you have young adults that don't know, especially I deal with a lot of young girls that, you know, go through many, many, many things. And when they share these things with me, they must experience it in order to get through it. But I always tell them those stories. And, you know, I don't really like to know what's going on. You can keep your personal, but I can look at them and tell what's happening. So I'll begin to tell those stories to them and let them pick out of it what they need, instead of trying to be the mother or trying to be the dictator, and, you know, showing that authoritarian spirit, never, never with the youth. Because if you can keep them relaxed, then you can help them hear. And that's a skill, and that's a skill that I'm still working on. I cannot wait to move those doves and use that box. Can you imagine what that box would do?
It will open up some minds.
Okay.
Open up a lot of the youth mind. Let me just say this to you. I am in a very envious spot right now. What I mean by that is that I work for the L.A. Unified School District, and we have a program now that they're leaning towards called Common Core. And what's with this Common Core program is that there are no more yes and no teaching. There are no more multiple choices. It's all about engaging the young kid's mind. I mean, how are you learning something by saying yes and no to a question or a problem? Or how are you learning something with multiple choices?
You're not.
These questions now, as back again, are open to the top. Thereby, a kid can go in within himself and think, and there are no wrong answers. Now, this is where magic has came in with the LA Unified. I am a teacher of magic. I work at several schools, and I teach magic after school.
Okay.
And we start at kindergarten, and I've been doing this now a year and a half, and the growth in these kids and the parents are saying, oh, my God, what are you teaching these kids? We're teaching them magic. And they want to come home, and they want to do magic for their parents, thereby causing a bond with the parents, causing a bond with their other siblings, and making them more self-assured in what they do. I had a kid that did not say one word. He was so quiet. The only person he would talk to was his bigger sister. And I tell you, by the time that kid got through with that magic class, you could not shut him up.
I love it. I want to speak more with you about that because, you know, I'm about the children, and I do agree with this Common Core because I have professors and I teach all the young adults, and I'm not going to hold too long. After this, we'll have to wrap it down. But before, I'm going to state this, and then I want to know when you are appearing next. But it is like with all of my professors, I meet each and every one of them. I have dialogue with them. I want to know what's expected of me. And I let them know what I expect of them. And also, I just don't want to be a name on a roster. So when you take out that time to have that one-on-one, and you cannot get it with a yes or a no answer, you have to do some explanation. And I've always been taught that you ask questions until you get clarification. And I will question you to no end. A lot of people, it's very aggravating to them, but I tell them to get over it because this is what it takes for me to get what I need. And when you say the yes and no is out, I am so happy that this is being eliminated because our children cannot learn with a yes or no, and they need to do one thing, and that is to think. And when you can think it out, it works. My nieces, they were like 4 and 5. They liked manicures. But I would charge them 50 cents. And the reason why I would charge them 50 cents is so that they would know that you don't get any free services. So when we would go to the market and they get that candy and put it on the counter, I wouldn't say a thing, but I would just ask the cashier, let me ask one question here. And I would say, oh, I guess you don't want your manicure this week. And they would ease that candy back off of that counter. Because they were going to either spend their money on the county and they wouldn't get a manicure because Auntie didn't do no free manicures, okay? You're going to pay me 50 cents. So when you're saying the yes and the no and giving them the opportunity to be able to think, that is the greatness that we need in this society. And thank you for being a part of that. And I will talk with you, Maceo, about that because I need to get busy in that area. You know, I'm about the babies. I'm about making them think. It's like wake up, think, do what you have to do. Do not take no for an answer. Keep a smile on your face and learn how to be pleasant because behavior is everything.
Uh-huh. We had a summer camp this summer. Would you believe that all the classes were at a maximum of 25-plus kids.
Yes.
Because they all want to do magic.
Yes, they do.
And it's wonderful. Just wonderful.
I want to be a kid. I want to register for the next summer's camp, and I will put my ponytail on and my tennis shoes and do whatever I have to do. I would love to be right there in the midst of them. I'm putting that out there now. Maceo, when are you performing and where next? I would like to let the listeners know.
I am negotiating with a few malls right now to bring in magic shows at least once a month.
Okay.
And in these magic shows, what I do is I make my magic shows a learning process. What I mean by a learning process is I don't just come out and do magic first. I come out and I talk about magic. I talk about the history of magic, where they learn about the cups and balls, and then I perform.
Okay.
And it's a great combination because I do a lot of career day at a lot of schools.
I love it.
But what's coming up is I will be performing at the world-famous Magic Castle during Veterans Week. I will be there for 5 days. I'll be in a close-up room.
Okay.
And I do have a website that you can go on and you can see the various places that I'm working. But
let me get that website.
My website is magicalconservatory/homestead.com. And you can go on there and get all the information. Also, if you put Maceo into the computer, things will come up of me on YouTube and other places if you just want to see a tad of what I do.
Okay. Okay. Well, Maceo, I am going to wrap it up. We're going in. I want to thank you, myself.
No, thank you, Linda.
Waking Up with Linda McShann, all of the children, and especially extend my appreciation to you for having me and my guest as your guest at the Magic Castle, and I'm putting my name back on the list again. I'm going to do it all out here on Front Street. I'm begging now. Just slap me at the top of the list and just let me know when you have me there. And I will be speaking with you. What I will do is once the show is over, I will contact you and get all this information to you. I am so appreciative. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And for veterans, we will be up there.
And also one other thing before you hang up on me, before you disappear,
okay.
I have a book coming out called Magic of the Mind. And in that book, it talks about my life and being a magician and all of that good stuff. So I thought I'd share that with you.
And once that book is out and published, you will definitely come back on and before then also and share that with us. And I'm putting my bid in for my autographed copy right now so that I will start reading and get the same experience as I received last night at the Magic Castle, or shall I say at the Academy of Magical Arts.
Yes, yes. Okay,
Mr.
Maceo,
thank you, and I will be contacting you shortly. Thank you so much.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too, and stay on if you'd like to listen in. I have Ms. Stephanie Haynes coming in, and she deals with relationships and wellness. If you'd like to hold on and listen, you can do that, or I will definitely get a link to you from the show after it's over with.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Maceo.
See you at the Magic Castle.
Yes, you will. I'm ready to go. Thank you. It's magic.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Just listening to Maceo, the magician, on Waking Up with Linda McShann. We have another caller on the line. I think it's Ms. Stephanie Haynes. I will be posting out. But for those of you who listen to Maceo, remember, he said that magic opens up at the top, and it helps you see the vastness of the universe. So if you have an opportunity, please see a magic show. Please get into magic. Life is magical. I love magic. What about yourself? Let's see who's on the line. If we have Ms. Stephanie Haynes coming on, give me one moment here. We are going through technical problems, but we are going to work all of this out. I am speaking with Ms. Stephanie Haynes on the line. Is that correct?
That's right. How are you today, Ms.
Haynes? Stephanie, how are you?
I am great. And yourself?
Myself is great. We just got off the phone with Mr. Maceo, the magician. I don't know if you're familiar with Maceo, but he is phenomenal. And I was I had the opportunity to go to the Magic Castle last night as his VIP guest. And did I have a ball? And the most important thing that intrigued me, we did not get a chance to tour the whole facility, but there's a seance room there that you can have dinner and, you know, do the things that you want to do. This was set up by Houdini's wife, Bess. And, you know, I love Houdini because he comes from the psychological end of magic, and he breaks it down a little bit different. So I just got off of that wonderful conversation, and now I'm getting ready to start another wonderful one with you, and we're working on relationships part two. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Well, Stephanie Haynes, everybody, this is the author of The Healing of the Wound. She's getting ready to get us busy here, you know, because Stephanie makes us work. Stephanie, I'm turning it over to you.
Okay. So good evening, listeners. For those who were not here on last week on the show, I'm going to start with relationships with fathers and significant male figures. So, you know, relationship with fathers or significant male figures influence how women relate to their men in their lives. During our formative years of early childhood, fathers or male role models teach us how men behave, what to expect from them, and how to respond to them. The nature of those relationships forms our later responses to men. In healthy, nurturing relationships, we learn to respond in unwholesome ways. Unhealthy responses cause distress and dissatisfaction. Abusive experiences teach women to expect to be treated poorly. Women of all ages are raped, sexually assaulted, robbed, and subject to aggressive and simple assaults. Many tolerate poor treatment, holding or hoping that if they hold on a little longer, the negative behavior will stop. Now, it's a system of low self-esteem. Women feel unworthy of love and stay in abusive situations trying to make themselves more appealing. The prospects of not having a man in their lives intimidate others, and they submit to mistreatment rather than go alone. The eyes are the most telling. The distant, cheerless gaze penetrates beyond its immediate path without sparkle. We often choose men like our father, like I did. When I was growing up, my father was in the Navy, and every weekend he would come home drunk. He would abuse my mother and the family. I will always say to myself that I would not marry a man that would abuse me. So what I found out in my later years is whatever you focus on is what you will manifest. Yes, I manifest a relationship with a man that had the same characteristics of my father. I learned when entering a relationship, we dedicate all our power to choose to say no to the behavior that is unacceptable or demanding to our well-being, or damaging to our well-being, I would say. When operating from fear, weakness, and insecurity, rather than from love and strength, we create with relationships that we are used to seeing or that we are comfortable with. So when we are loved and strong in our relationship, we recognize that we have the power to make choices that will uplift us rather than bring us down. The women are made to be loved and cherished. However, it starts with us. We have to transform our pain and struggles into medicine, meaning that whatever type of relationship we desire to have with a man, we must have it first with ourselves. For example, if we want our mate to love and respect us, we have to have love and respect for ourselves. Everything begins and ends with us. So, audience, I have some questions for you. So take this moment and grab a pen and a pencil. and a piece of paper. And there's some questions I'm going to go through with you. So the first question would be, why do women choose men like their father? Sometimes the fathers can have good characteristics. They're there, they're responsible, they're treating their mother with love and respect. They're breadwinners, they, you know, they take care of the family. And then there are some fathers who are absent from the home, or they abuse the mother or the children. So everybody, you know your own family. So write down what the characteristics that you see in the man that you choose. They are like your father.
Okay.
Okay, number two. What are some of the characteristics of the men you choose that are like your father? Number three,
okay.
What do you have to change to stop attracting negative characteristics like your father? And number four, what inner transformation has to take place to attract the man you desire? So I have a quote. When we forgive our fathers for the trauma he has caused us, we can create healthy and loving relationships with our mates. Now, we have to set boundaries. And boundaries is very important in any relationship. So these are boundaries for relationship with males. And for not only male, for females too, for those male listeners out there. So I have the right to take care of myself, number one. Number two, I have the right to protect my body and treat it with dignity and respect. Number three, I have the right to say no as many times as I need to. Number four, I have the right to participate in decisions involving me. The next one, I have the right to walk away from a bad situation. The next, I have the right to determine what is best for me, but not least, I have the right to expect the best for me. So when we are in a loving and strong relationship, we recognize that we have the power to make choices that will uplift us rather than bring us down. Okay, so we're going to move on. So last week, you know, we went over some of these questions. And Ms. Linda, I want to know, do you have any questions from going through all the questions and answering them? So what came up for you?
Well, you know, I sort of like, you know, I know that I have to do my homework, Stephanie, to deal with you. I had several different questions to come up, but the most important one that I found was I kind of like stay focused on, and it's in the boundary area for the relationship, with having the right to determine what's best for me. That was something that I really, really take pride in. I do take pride in, but for years I did not do that. And now that I'm so stuck on the right to determine what's best for me, I can get a little bit downright cruel with it. So I'm working on the relaxation, because only you know what's best for you. No one can tell you what's best for you. No one can tell you how to be happy, how to be responsible, how to step into and stay into your greatness. It's all about greatness with me. It's all about behavior, and it's all about forward movement. So since those things are very, very important, and I emphasize this, especially with the young girls that I deal with, this one, I have the right to determine what is best for me is my number one here. And it's almost being repeated on a daily basis. It's an affirmation. And whenever I get into situations or I see others in situations, we talk about this. This is the one. I have the right to determine what is best for me. Because, see, at the end of the day, it's only you anyway, wouldn't you say?
True.
It's only you. You have to deal with you.
Yes, that's very important. You know, and another important thing is that, you know, when we get into relationship, it's very important that we are complete.
Yes.
Meaning that we are not outside, looking outside of ourselves for having someone to complete us.
That's right.
That's, you know, because what's going to happen, you know, when you have two needy individuals that have needs that are not met, you're going to always have conflict. Always have conflict.
You're right about that.
You know, so I really, and I had to learn that. You know, it's very important that you work through your stuff, you know, especially your childhood issues.
Oh,
you know, biggest baggage alone with you in a relationship, in your adulthood.
That's true.
You know,
true.
And what it does is create dysfunctional relationships.
Mm-hmm. You're right about that.
Yeah, so the most important thing is, you know, peeling out that onion, those layers of pain, getting to the core of the issues, you know, that we have been, you know, masking and putting over and over layers and layers of pain and trauma. So really dealing with those issues and heal those places. You know, and me personally, I think that it's a process. You know, because everybody's pain is different. Everybody
mm-hmm.
deals with pain differently. You know, only thing I can do is share my ideas and my tools that I have learned to deal with certain trauma and pain.
You tell the story.
That's right.
You tell them a story.
So, say that, you know, in creating relationship with the mate, create their relationship with self first.
Hmm.
And I think that's so important. It's creating that relationship with self. And for those who get out of relationship and then jump into another relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes it's best to, like, stand back for a minute and say, wait, what cause did I make to not allow this relationship to work? And
right.
sometimes we get a relationship that, you know, people come in their lives for different reasons, seasons, and purposes.
Right.
You know, sometimes a person might just be there just to help you out at that moment.
Right.
And then another person can come in your life for that season. And then there's a person that comes into your life for a lifetime. No matter what you go through, that person is always there in your life.
That's right.
You know, so when we talk about our soulmate actually is that very one that we cannot stand. Because what's going to happen, that person is going to be that one to make you grow. So I call it soul relating. You know, lifetime after lifetime, we have individuals coming in and out of our lives. And then you know when you are relating to that person on a soul level because you guys been in a relationship lifetime after lifetime.
That's right. And we forget about
you know.
It.
You know? So,
yeah.
You know, you may have those times you say, oh, it's deja vu. I've been here before. Or you might think, wow, you know, something about you is so familiar.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's that very person that you had a relationship with in another lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could have been a male, female. We never know.
Right.
But.
And the roles could have been reversed also.
That's right. The roles could have been reversed. So the most important thing is that this whole life is about relationship, how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to others.
Ourselves, number one. That's the most important because I feel, if I may put my two cents up in here, that when you can relate to you, you can relate to anyone, because you are the one that you have to deal with, and no one knows you but you. You know, there's those that come into our lives that think they know. They have a lot of, you know, information and direction and education. That's all great and good because, you know, we can learn from the leaf on the ground. We can learn from the rock that's in the soil or the soil. We can learn from anyone if we're open to do that. But you must know who you are. And if you know who you are, then nothing can sway you. It might be eventually when you're trying to go through that process that you're speaking of, and it is a process. It's an ongoing process. When you're trying to go through that process in the beginning, it can anger you. It can frustrate you. It can do a lot of things, but as you continue to do it and recognize you, those things don't even bother you. You don't even feed energy there. And if you don't feed energy there, it cannot fester. You know, it doesn't faze you one way or the other. It's like you're not concerned about image, because image is just a word. The most important thing is you and your spiritual being and your being complete. And that's the message that we're putting out here. I know I probably wrote this quote down wrong. I'm going to kind of like read through it, and you can clarify it for me. It was dealing with two parties, and it stated something when both parties of a relationship and the values are clear from both parties, and it's clarity there. It eliminates assumptions, needs, and wants. So I know it's not exactly how you quoted it, but you know what I'm speaking of with the clarity.
Yes. Let me read that quote for the listeners.
It
states that when both parties in a relationship know what is expected of each other, the values important to both are clear. Clarity eliminates assumptions about what one person ought to know about the other person needs and want.
Okay. Well, I have it starred here. I have it written on a card. I'm going to find it in my workbook because, listeners, we have a wonderful workbook. When you purchase The Healing of the Wound, A Healing Journey by Ms. Stephanie Haynes, you also not only receive the wonderful book, but you have a workbook that can help you continue on daily, and it works as a reminder. And you can go in and work these exercises, and when she's on, be ready, because she also gives you homework. She came back on me, and that question was asked last week, and I know how Stephanie Haynes worked, so I got busy, and I concentrated on which one stuck out the best for me, because I knew that she was going to ask me that question, and she's going to do the same thing for you. When you make this purchase of The Healing of the Wound, you have a workbook that comes with it, and it's awesome to just take out time during the day, whatever time you take out, a.m., p.m., midnight, whatever, to sit down and spend some time with yourself and go through this. It makes for a better day, wouldn't you say, Stephanie?
I agree.
Okay.
So, I do agree. You know, I would like to, you know, invite the listeners to come out to a Get Smart Before You Get Sexy conference.
Okay, what is it again? Please repeat that.
A Get Smart Before You Get Sexy.
Ooh, I like that. When is this happening?
Okay, this is going to happen on September the 23rd.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm a member of Black Women for Wellness. It's a nonprofit grassroots organization dedicated to empower health and wellness of Black women and girls.
Okay.
You know, Black Wellness is based in Los Angeles and has served the community over 17 years.
Okay.
You know, so Black Women for Wellness is hosting our annual reproductive justice conference focused specifically on the health and well-being of Black women and girls.
Okay.
So get smart before you get sexy. Making Sex Smart and Smart Sexy conference will also launch a campaign dedicated to reducing sexual and reproductive health disparities experienced by young women or of color through education and culture shift. So it's going to be on September the 23rd, which is a Tuesday, from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's going to be at the California Endowment Center for Healthy Families. So the address is 1000 North Alameda Street in Los Angeles, California.
Alameda.
Yes. So, listeners, thank you so much. You know, Miss Linda, I have to go now. But you can, they can hit me up on my website at fashionablyfit.net. That's fashionablyfit.net. That's fashionablyfit.net.
Okay, Stephanie, before you go, and thank you so much for sharing that, we need to, is there a number that we can call for registration? Is there a registration fee for this program that's on the 23rd? Could I get a little bit of that before you go? Bye-bye.
Yes, what you can do, yes, there is a registration fee. You can visit Black Women for Wellness website.
Okay.
www. Black Women's for Wellness .org.
Okay, wellness.org. Okay, I have that information. I will put it out there. I will post it out there, Stephanie. Again, Waking Up with Linda McShann and all the listeners, myself, Steps to Success, all the young adults out there, and especially all young Black women and all women, would like to thank you again for coming on, getting us busy, and you will be on next week. And what will our topic be?
Okay, our topic would be the healing of the womb. So we're going to go to the beginning of the book.
Okay.
And our topic would be the healing of the womb.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I have that. I'll be able to post it out. Stephanie Haynes, with the author of The Healing of the Wound, has just shared with us, got us busy. I'm not going to keep you, Stephanie. Please enjoy your evening, and I will be speaking with you within a day or two. Thank you. Thank you so much. We love you, and keep pushing out there for our young adults.
Yes. And Linda, also, I'm going to give you another website they can go to for registration.
Okay.
It's bwwla.org.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
so
right. I have both of these down, and I will post them out. And I got it. Extend love and appreciation. Again, enjoy your evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Take care, Stephanie. Good night.
Good night.
What you
out there. And we had the beginning of the show, if you are just listening in, we had Maceo the Magician. Come on, he talked to us about the history of magic, shared a few things with us, but, you know, the most important thing that stuck, he said that magic opens you up from the top. You are able to view the universe and its great vastness. Magic is a happy, bright, and light thing, and that's what we believe in here. And waking up with Linda Mac Shan, we're going to put this out for September the 7th. Keep in mind. I will give you this number, 818-754-2447. That is for the Omni Youth Music and Actors Awards. That will be held September 7th. This is the 11th Omni under the directorship of Ms. Marlene Dove, and it is something for you to witness and see. It will be at Cal State Los Angeles at Lockshore at the Caroline Theater. And I think the festivities will start about 1:30. The red carpet will be moving out about 1. Please check it out. You will not regret it. Again, the number to dial is 818-754-2447. And I will put this statement in here as Stephanie Haynes shared with us, the author of The Healing with the Wound. When we blame others, we lose the power to change. So take a look at you, work on you, and make sure you stay happy, bright, and light. You know, we have a segment here on Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. It is called Stay in Touch. And Stay in Touch is you dial 323-769-5879. Leave your name and the name of the person that you want to leave that positive message to, and we will air it out on the next show. Now, I have a caller in here, and this is calling in from Lucy. Lucy wants to tell her brothers and remaining family how much she loves them. She had an opportunity to go through her grieving process. She lost her elder brother, but she's fine. She just wanted to reach out to the family out in Irvine, California, and let them know that she's strong and for them to stay strong. Stay in Touch is an area that we want everybody to stay in touch. So dial it. We're going to keep rolling here. We had some exciting guests on. We're going to do some light quotes, play you some music, and make sure that you have a happy, happy, happy day. Be ready to...
She's just a girl and she's on fire.
Burn your eyes. hear God. Make the fire disappear when they fear God. Take away my fear when they in the fear God. Do you fear God? Cause I fear God. And in my backyard, that's a dear God. And that's a horse ranch. And to my core fans, keep repping me. Do it to the chest of me. X in the box, cause ain't nobody checking me.
White eyes, drop that.
Alicia Keys, girl on fire, you know. Appreciation is the key here with us, with Waking Up with Linda Mac Chan. Never let a show go by without extending my appreciation to those who woke me up so that I can wake you up. And now together we can wake up the world. We're going to keep rolling. We're having little problems. Just deal with us. You know, it's all that water out there, that high tide. You know, water rules, just like love.
I'm just not the same.
Just a reminder, on Sunday night, that's going to be August 31st, those of you who will be in the city, we will be on at 7 o'clock p.m. with author Jennifer L. Jackson. She has two books out there. One is called The Streets, and the second one is called Do Not Overlook My Baby's Cries. This is talking about the welfare system. And the first book, The Streets, is her memoir, her life memoir, and she does have a story to tell. So we will be talking with author Jennifer L. Jackson on Sunday, August the 31st. And, of course, that will be Nene and Teens Are Talking. Unless that young lady is on audition or at an event, you know she's busy, busy, busy. For 12 years old, she is out there serving the community and stepping into her greatness with her life, just entertaining, making everyone happy, showing all that happiness. So from time to time, we have to make some adjustments out there. And I want to tell you to always stretch and do something. You know, we got to get to work again. This is the spirit of people of genuine substance. Those who avoid hard work or neglect the things that they have to do, who just while around their time eating, sleeping, playing, watching television, such individuals will never experience true happiness, satisfaction, or joy. And life is about true happiness, satisfaction, and joy. So you have to do a stretch out there. You must go up, down, all around. Go through the process. We here, we're waking up. With Linda Mac Chan is about scaling one mountain at a time, then facing the next one, followed by the one after that. Those who preserve and finally succeed in conquering the highest mountain are victors in life. On the other hand, those who avoid such challenges and take the easy route, descending into the valleys, will end up in defeat. And defeat is only the D in defeat to me is only a delay. You must have the strength and get the job done. We're going to go into our close this evening because these technical problems, I do not want you skipping out there. We're going to tell you we love you, we love you, we love you. And we will be back on the air again on Sunday, which will be August 33rd. Love you.
Your joy.